You're listening to the Bird Dog Babe podcast with my mom, Courtney Bastian.
This episode is presented to you by Purina Pro Plan and Boss Shot Shells.
The stories that I would hear, it just was always about the kill and the hunt and how big it was. And I wouldn't hear a lot about the things that seem to be a lot more important to the women. When I would hear these stories from the men, who are all great, great men, mm-hmm. You're wrong. It just was not from a perspective that I could really relate to. When I went to camp and all the women there were so strong and just kind of really impressive, well-rounded women, hearing their perspectives and just what drives them to do what they do and why they're out hunting. And it was just so different than how big the thing was that they killed and how many they killed and how the stock was. And this is what I was used to hearing. And for the women, it was like, my dog did great. And it was like, I loved being in the mountains. It was so beautiful. We learned how to cook the bird and make sure we use all the bird. The things that would matter to me personally a little bit more than like how to kill something.
I'm hearing some great feedback from several of you that are trying out new Pro Plan Sport formulas that are co-branded with Ducks Unlimited. The Sport formula, which is 30% protein, 20% fat for all life stages, is now available in three new options. The first is beef and bison, then we have salmon and cod, and at a whopping 513 calories per cup is turkey, duck, and quail. My crew are fed ProPlan Sport year-round to help maintain lean muscle and optimize oxygen metabolism. I don't have any picky eaters, but I'm sure they appreciate a bit of change with their protein source every now and then. And bonus, if you own five dogs or more, or you plan to breed a litter, send me an email or message me and I can help you get set up to receive about $5 back per bag. I was just on the Boss Shot Shell website this morning and saw that they have the 20-gauge 3-inch 7s in stock. It's like buying concert tickets right now. If you need ammo, keep checking and refreshing their webpage to see what's in stock or join their wait list. Boss cuts out the middleman retail to provide fair price for non-tox ammo, an excellent customer service, and it ships directly to your front door. Check out BossShotShells.com and get some. If you have a new shotgun on your Christmas list, or if you're planning to put one under the tree for that special lady in your life, don't make the mistake of buying her one that doesn't fit. It's just not nice. Take her to one of the 19 siren shotgun demo centers in the U.S. to let her try it out and decide what feels best and fits. Go to SirenUSA.com and find a demo center closest to you. And if you're looking to get your dog something for Christmas, they deserve the unparalleled protection that Dakota 283 is dedicated to provide for our dog's travel. Easy to grab, built-in handle, locking door, and the option of FDA safe antimicrobial protection of Dakota Guard. Use promo code BIRDDOGBABE for 10% off. Patreon patrons are now able to watch the uncut videos of the recording of each episode and get additional discounts and giveaways. Speaking of, let's do a giveaway this week. To celebrate my old man Bisto's upcoming birthday, I'll put together a senior dog package and some goodies for you as well. So whoever has the oldest dog will win. You must be a patron of the Bird Dog Babe podcast. So sign up and be entered by this Sunday, November 21st at patreon.com/thebirddogbabe to win. My guest today is Lauren Dirkschneider. Lauren is an avid marathon runner that sought out a breed to be your running partner. She quickly learned her dog needed more than a run. It needed a job. Soon after, she found herself in an unexpected path into the uplands. This is one of the most raw and detailed discussions I've ever heard from a perspective of a novice learning to hunt. Lauren shares her fears, doubts, and what motivates her to overcome them. These are all things that many of us have struggled with, but don't talk about nearly enough. All right, let's get after it.
Hey, Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
Hi there.
Coming straight to us from your closet. I like your style.
Yep.
I'm excited to have you on for this episode. I've been eager to talk to you for a while after our Women's Forest Grouse Camp. But let's warm up our audience a little bit. Tell them where you're coming to us from besides your closet. Like, give us another physical location, and then a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So my name is Lauren Dirkschneider. I'm located in Bozeman, Montana, which is one of the greatest places you could be. For work, I work in the financial industry. I'm actually about to change jobs. So I'm getting a new job, and tomorrow's my last day. But generally, I've been like a business analyst or doing data analytics within financials or fintech. So that's kind of the area I'm in for work. Within my space in Bozeman, really, my husband and I like to spend as much time as we can in the mountains. So I'm constantly, I'm trail running a lot. I like to run ultra marathons, which, if you're not in the know for that, that's any distance longer than an actual marathon.
So the first is like, how long is an actual marathon?
26 miles.
Oh, hot damn. So what are you running?
Yeah. So the longest I've gone at any time is 50 miles, and I have ambitions to go further. It's a weird thing to get into.
But how long does it take you to do that? Like, is it like an overnight sleep, or do you just continue to run for 50 miles?
50 miles, like, that's a good 8 to 12 hours, I'd say. Some people can run it faster, of course, some slower. That's probably my range. And it all depends on the elevation gain that you get, right? So in the mountains, when you're trail running, you can run that pretty quickly if there's not a lot of climbing. But if you're climbing up on a peak, it takes a long time. So
that's pretty badass, Lauren.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's so weird to get into too.
It is. Like, are you kind of like addicted to it now? Is it like that running junkie drug?
Yeah, basically. It's hard to, and the thing with the ultra marathons too is you just keep wanting to go further. So I've done a 50 mile and I'm like, great, what's next? And there are races that go all the way up to like 200 miles. I mean, you can go like insane distances.
Wow. That's incredible.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you grow up in Montana?
I did not. I grew up in Minnesota in the Twin Cities area. So Minneapolis.
Okay. Area. So what brought you out to Montana?
So it was actually just my husband and my careers. We worked for Cabela's, but not for the actual retail portion. We worked for the bank. So we were doing credit risk and writing basically strategies behind, like, you know, what credit line you receive when you apply for the card and that sort of thing. And then when Capital One took over the credit card and Bass Pro took over Cabela's, there was a large merger, and Capital One let go most of the employees that worked at the bank. So we got laid off at the exact same time, which sounds terrible, but like, it was handled really well. And thankfully they gave us a lot of money in like severance packages. So we were kind of able to pick wherever we wanted to go in the US. So we kind of view it as like a really lucky thing that we went through. So
yeah, for sure. Had you been to Montana before that?
Yeah, the company that brought me out here, I actually was a client of. So I had some connections here to Bozeman. I had been out here a couple times before and just loved it, you know. So it was an easy choice, I guess.
Sure. Besides running, like, what other activities do you do? Do you do any winter sports?
We actually just bought cross-country skis, so we're so excited.
I was wondering.
We took some lessons last year, and we're pretty pumped to get out there and do that.
That's awesome. But will you run through the winter as well?
I do, but it's tougher because you can't get out in the mountains as deep. I mean, some people do, but you're pretty reliant on like how far hikers have gone, which how deep in you can go. Because once you start post-holing in the snow, it becomes really hard to manage, and you're basically not running at that point. You're hiking.
Okay.
You need a blazed trail. So the skis should help to get deeper.
Okay. Cold. Yeah. Interesting. You're super ambitious. Wow. I know, like, when we were trying to schedule this, you're like, well, after work, I'm going to go running. So like, what is your typical, and this isn't a running podcast, I'm just like super intrigued. I ran cross country.
Oh, so, did you?
Like, I did, like, clearly not anymore. But yeah, I used to. So like, how long will you run during the week?
It depends largely on if I'm training or not. So right now I haven't been training for a while. So my weekday runs are anywhere from like 3 to 6 miles. And then my weekend runs will be anywhere from 8 to, I'd say 13 would be the max I go without training.
Okay.
And in the summer during trail season, I'm really training because I want to do really cool things.
Mm-hmm.
By really cool things, I mean, there are some epic trails that you can do, but you need to be able to, they're usually like backpacking routes for people.
Cool.
So you just need to be able to cover that distance. So when I'm trying to stay fit to be able to do these adventure runs, I like to call them, I'm running a lot during the week. So a little bit more, and I'm trying to keep a lot more fit and do a lot more vert with my running too.
Yeah. So your new running buddy that you have, is she running with you now?
Yeah. So she just turned a year old on Sunday. It's my, I have a German wire hair pointer named Isla. And so I was pretty conservative with running with her because I really didn't want her to have any hip issues because I really want her to be my running partner for a long time. So I didn't do a ton of running with her until she was about, I'd say right at about 9 months. And then I started to introduce like 1 to 2 mile run walk intervals that were focused on training and having her not pull on the leash, because that's where you can start to get dangerous with your back and everything, because I like to wear it around my waist. So we started like really doing training, and I say training, it's more like obedience style training, not running training, at about 9 months. And then now at a year old, I have her out on trail for about 6 miles max. We're still not going too far running.
Why did you decide on a German wire hair pointer?
So we wanted to get a second dog because we have another dog who's a German Shepherd kind of lab mutt mix. He's a reservation dog. He was great dog, just can't really keep up with me running. I spoke to my mother about this, who's also just kind of a big dog woman. She's into, you know, she did obedience competitions, did show dogs. Her kind of dog is the wire hair fox terrier, but she's kind of in the space, you know.
Sure.
And she said that this breed, I should check out this breed. I hadn't really heard much about it. And she's like, it'd be really good. She'll have the energy to go the long distances with you, and she'll be able to hunt with your husband. And I think they're great family dogs, so you should really kind of look into it. And then as much like, I just kept digging in, and it just seemed like a really good fit. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree with her more. I think, yeah. Not that I'm partial to the breed or anything, but yes, I do think they are a perfect breed for that. As a novice, you know, looking for a breeder, did your mom help prompt you with some things to look for, or how did you go about that?
I mean, so when I schedule calls with breeders to kind of get a feel for how they run their business, she did give me some example questions to ask and stuff, but I've primarily rescued dogs before this. So this was actually my first kind of purebred animal that I've had. So I didn't entirely know everything I was doing, but I did kind of know what I wanted when I was speaking to breeders. So really what I was looking for was just someone who has their animals in the home with them, who's not overbreeding them. I like to see that they have titles and that they're trying to better the breed. I like to hear like the goals that my breeder had with what they're trying to breed for. I didn't want just like purposeless, you know, litters that really had no aims to better the breed. Mm-hmm. I was concerned about how often they were breeding their females and making sure that they were living good lives. I was concerned with what they do with their females when they're, you know, done breeding them. Do they keep them? Are they getting rid of them? What are they doing? So it's really, for me, was because I've never, you know, purchased a purebred dog. It was a lot more about the treatment of the dogs and making sure I was finding a breeder who really, I don't know, valued their lives and didn't, you know, run a backyard puppy mill situation,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Good for you. That's really good. Is there anything that you would do differently next time that you didn't do this first time?
Yeah, I think so. So I, first of all, love the breeder that I did. I think I ended up choosing really well, which is nice. It was Wires in Wyoming, which I know you're familiar with because you have the dad.
Yes. Oh, yes. You have a merit baby, don't you?
Yeah. But the things I would do differently are just that now that I'm kind of in NAVDA and I kind of have access to that, I would just have a lot more options. I would be able to look into the lineages a lot more and like just learn a lot more about the potential parents of the dog that I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'd like to do, and it might not have been applicable in this case because I didn't entirely know what I was looking for being new to a bird dog. But I would probably drive out and meet the mom and meet the potential parents before doing it again. But frankly, it all worked out. So I'm not sure that any of these changes would really have impacted like how I chose.
Yeah. So when you got Isla, then you had intentions for her to be your running partner and your husband to have as a hunting dog. But did you start doing some obedience work with her? Were you the one that went to training days with her? I'm assuming that Lisa, your breeder, asked you to attend a training day and maybe even test in natural ability.
She did, yes. So I got the dog with intentions that she would be my running buddy and I would have this mountain adventure partner, you know. And the breed really is great for that. You know, they have the longer coat, the thicker coat that's great in the winter. And she just has the stamina to really, I mean, I'm seeing myself being able to run a marathon with her in the mountains, like 26 miles. I think if she's trained, she'll be able to do this because she's got so much energy. But, and then my husband was going to hunt train her. So I was like, you handle the hunt training and I'll handle the obedience and make sure she's a good pet and make sure she's ready to go in that area. So we started her out. I've been doing obedience classes with her since she was the first time we got her. I mean, I've started day one and I've been going probably at least weekly since then, sometimes doing multiple times a week with my trainer, just trying to get her good. Mm-hmm. Has been challenging. I'll say that as a first dog owner. So as we went through it, I've been doing all the obedience and then I've been poking my husband, like, when are you going to do bird introduction? Do you think maybe you should go and fire a gun and see how she does there? Like, should you be doing something? Have you read? And, he had not. while obedience was going really, really well, she was also just kind of slow to mature and just, my goodness, she's so headstrong and willful and just independent that it was just like, my goodness, it was like beating my head against the wall sometimes trying to get her to do things despite how much work I was putting into it. And it really kind of came to a head one time. You know, I've been taking her out, I haven't been running her all summer because I don't want to ruin her hips and whatnot, but we've been going out hiking and we were out at a really beautiful location right near Bozeman, and we're in this big open basin at the base of mountains. And it's kind of a meadow situation. And I've definitely learned that, you know, I've never had a bird dog. So she hunted, you know, she had the room. All of a sudden it wasn't a single track trail where she was kind of stuck where, you know, woods on both sides. It's a little harder for her to roam and there's like a clear path. But now we were in a meadow and she just kind of went crazy. all obedience that I had done to that point just went out the window. I couldn't even get her to look at me. And then eventually she was hunting was a marmot and she treed it. So that it was a tree with a shrubbery or like around the base of it. And the marmot was in the shrub and she couldn't get to it, but she circled that shrub for, if I didn't have someone else with me to kind of like circle the shrub and corner her together, I would have never gotten her away from it. I mean, I was just insane. And I was like, wow, if that marmot had been on a cliff, she probably would have ran right off that cliff to get that marmot. It kind of prompted me to be like, I probably need to learn how to get her to listen to me when she's hunting. And it kind of, after speaking with my breeder, which she had brought up Navdo before, but I was kind of like, that's Jared's thing, my husband. I'm not going to do that. That's him. It's hunting. Yeah. I decided to end up going and like kind of pursuing it because I just wanted to learn how her little brain ticks and how I can like get her to listen to me when she's in this insane drive mode, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has she brought you like a neighbor cat or a raccoon or any kind of furred animal yet?
He hasn't. No. And okay. I'm over that.
But be prepared, Lauren, be prepared.
I'm hoping that my cats will deter her from like hunting around, but we're in a suburban area and there's, you know, we're in a fenced in yard and everything. So hopefully we won't terrorize the neighborhood animals.
just know that you've been warned. Okay. we had a dog clear a 5-foot fence, like when we lived in town and brought a possum back Like, oh, just came trotting down the middle of the road. Yeah, they're, the breed is just very fur crazy and very driven. So with the NAVDA, so your husband was kind of like, didn't really find time for it. You knew she needed to do it. So you went to, how many NAVDA training days did you go to?
So we started so late in the summer, and it really is, in, especially in Montana. I don't know how it works everywhere else, but it's definitely a summer focused thing because we have snow and cold. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go to my first one until the end of July. So I really only made it to two separate training sessions this summer. And then we tested her in natural ability. And so her first bird introduction wasn't until 7 months old or so. And everyone at NAVDA was like, oh, you waited so long. Ooh. And I was like, sorry.
You did what you could, right?
I mean, yeah. So, and then about a month later, we tested her in the natural ability. So it was a turnaround.
Yeah. How'd the test go?
She killed it.
Yeah, really good.
Incredible to watch. She got prize 110 out of 112.
That's fantastic, Lauren.
And her only points off were basically because of me, because it was cooperation and I was just nervous and I didn't trust her recall at that time. And I was like, oh, she's probably not going to listen to me. And if I had probably just shut my trap, she probably would have gotten the full.
That is my favorite score. That is my favorite dog. The 110 that gets docked in cooperation. Like,
me.
No, I mean, don't blame yourself for it. It's usually just a dog with a ton of drive. And I think that I love the independence of those dogs that get docked in cooperation. So
independent.
That is so cool. So you had put her on birds for the first time at 7 months. You had to two training days. So did she only get bird exposure those two training days?
No, I actually, the people at NAVDA I went to two different chapters in Montana and they were just unbelievably kind. So I actually met someone pretty close to Bozeman who offered to help us out. And he raised, you know, he had a bird pen with chuckers and other types of game birds. And he had some property where we could let her off and like put a couple birds in the trap and, you know, let her sniff them out and kind of practice. And he also gave us drills to do to practice the tracking too. So he sent us home with a dead bird and we drug the bird along and let her track that bird. And we actually practiced a little in that month. She got like a decent amount of bird exposure before the test, which helped.
Sure. Great. And did you have to do any training with her to get her to swim?
No. I would say if I were to go back and do that all again, over again with the swimming, her first exposure to water was in the middle of winter. She fell off a bridge while hiking that was icy into the river.
Oh, my.
Whoopsie. And it was totally fine. And then all her other exposures were like mountain alpine lakes during the thaw. So we'd hike up there and I'd try and throw a stick in and be like, you should get in there. And of course she hated that. I mean, what puppy, she doesn't even have her like adult coat and I'm trying to get her to go in these frigid waters with uneven bottoms. And really once we got her in like an appropriate water situation, she was like a fiend. So it's kind of like, I didn't have to do much. I just showed her the bumper and tossed it. And she's like, yay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you the one that ran her in the test?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Did your husband go watch you?
He did.
That's so cool.
Super into it all. Like I think he's thankful that I finally like took the initiative and was like, we're going to NAVDA because now his life has changed. He now is like going out hunting with his wife, which is something he never dreamed when he married me. And now he has a dog that I'm helping to train for hunt for him and for me, you know? So
right. Yeah. You trained a dog for him. That's perfect.
I'm trying to train her anyway.
Right. How were you with like the touching of the birds and like laying the track and stuff at first? Did it take you a while to get used to that?
I didn't do it before the test. I mean, I've never hunted. I've been pretty adverse to the idea of killing something. It's something when you don't do it, it's pretty scary. I don't want to kill a bird. And so that part was harder for me. So at least my husband helped out with that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Even at the training days, I wouldn't pick up the bird. Isla would drop it right at my feet and I'd be like, thanks, Isla. And then Jared would grab it.
Yeah. Did anybody in your family hunt growing up?
Not a single soul. No fishing either, nothing. Just not outdoor outdoorsman at all.
But you had dogs growing up.
I did. My mom was always kind of really into dogs. So when I was younger, we had Doberman Pinschers. And then basically when I left for college, she got into the Wire Fox Terriers.
Okay. And did your husband grow up hunting?
Not until late, like high school. He started with his grandpa. So he would turkey hunt. He's from Nebraska. And he would turkey hunt and then duck hunt with his family.
Okay. And when you guys moved out there, he started doing more of the upland stuff?
No. He struggled to get the ball rolling in the new area. So he moved out to Montana, and all of a sudden, you know, we have all this public land, but he's like, but where's the right spots? I need to figure this all out. It's a whole new ball game, I guess, when you're not just going to a private land pond and setting up your decoys. So he just kind of he's gone out and he's been figuring it out year over year, but it's been slow to start. So he's pretty excited that now I learned how to do, you know, where to find grouse. So now I can we can go on Onyx together and help find areas. So he's actually getting out hunting a lot more than he was before we got this dog.
This sounds like a great place to give a shout out to our sponsor, Onyx Hunt. Hunt with confidence and find new opportunities using nationwide color-coded public land maps, private parcel ownership information, and clearly marked boundaries. Go to onyxmaps.com and find out why millions of hunters use and trust Onyx, the number one hunting GPS map.
How the heck and why the heck did you sign up for Grouse Camp? Like, how did you find out about it?
So I found out because my coworker and friend must have heard it on one of your podcasts. I don't know where she found it, but she told me about it at work. She's like, hey, because our puppies are the same age, just about. So, you know, we've had play dates with them all the time. Our work is dog friendly. So we go out for our little breaks with our dogs together. She was like, I found this grouse camp I'm going to sign up for. You want to go? It's dog friendly. It's going to go learn how to hunt grouse. And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm not going to sign up for a hunt camp. What are you talking about? Like, no. And then I had a glass of wine later at home, and I Googled it, and I was like, oh, interesting. So it was cheap enough where I didn't feel like I was like shelling out a ton of money for this thing.
Yeah.
I didn't
know
how it would end up. Right. And kind of talked with my husband about, I'm like, we had already been involved in NAVDA at that point. We kind of wanted to see what Isla could do really hunting, not just in like training. So I was like, maybe I should just go and kind of gather knowledge for the both of us to be able to do this. Even if I just want to hike along with you while you're hunting, at least I'll come back and be able to tell you like where to go and how to do this. Mm-hmm. So I signed up impulsively and went to hunt camp.
Oh my gosh. So what were you expecting it to be like? Or was it what you expected?
Many ways, yes.
Okay.
I figured that there wouldn't be many beginners that went to this smaller hunt camp in the middle of Montana. I figured there'd be a lot of like diehard women who are flying in for it. That would make sense because Montana's awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Everything else was fairly expected. I was happy with the dog turnout. That was fun.
Yeah.
So many dogs went.
What was like your... I don't know. What did you find like most beneficial about the whole camp?
That one's tougher because I came from such a place of like zero knowledge. So I could pick out one session that probably was better than the rest. But when you know nothing, everything was important. So I didn't know much about gear. So the talk on gear for women was really helpful because I was like, I don't even know what to wear out there. And I knew nothing about, you know, lead-free bullets. That was not a thing I had not even crossed my brain because I didn't, how would I know that if you never, you know, I had never shot a shotgun. I had shot a handgun once in my life. So I went to this shooting session having never, you know, even held a shotgun or even known what that was going to be like. And, you know, I knew nothing about grouse other than they scare the crap out of me while I'm running. time those pesky birds So really, I don't, the vet session was huge for me. Mm-hmm. That was pretty eye-opening. I didn't know what kind of things Isla would face in the field. So that was pretty like enlightening to know what I should be carrying and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh, it was like baptism by fire for you, wasn't it?
It was like the whole thing was just a wind of knowledge.
Did you find it too overwhelming?
No, I don't think so. The most overwhelming part for me was shooting the shotgun. That mm-hmm. was like, I did not know what that was going to be like. Everyone who's probably shot one is like, yeah, duh, it's a gun. But like, I did not expect that level of adrenaline and emotion. That's what like really surprised me is I'm like, I was pretty scared.
Sure.
It's a scary thing. But then after I shot it and stuff, it was like my whole body just started shaking and I started crying and I was pulling, I don't even know why I'm crying right now, you know?
Sure, sure.
Just like my body had this big release of everything and it just came out my eyes because it didn't know what else to do, you know? I didn't know. Yeah. Wasn't prepared for that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, do we have you in a 28 gauge?
The first shot was a 12 gauge and we quickly changed out, I think, 28.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's a lot of things going on right there.
Yeah.
And was it you that told me that like when you got home, you had found out your husband had like just bought Boss shot shells or something? Yeah. Was that you?
I'm sitting right next to the box in the closet. I came home, I'm like, Jared, you can only use your lead shells at the range now. You can't use them when we hunt. He's like, I know. I just bought this company. It's Boss. I really like their marketing. I was like, all right. That's the company I know. So you're good.
That is so awesome. What was it that made him switch to Boss before, like you said anything to him?
Like I said, I think the marketing got him. And okay. I think wanting to do the lead-free thing for a while, like he knew about it.
Okay.
And he had this big stockpile of lead shot shells left over from other things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he duck hunts. So, of course, he does have, you know, the non-toxic shot already.
Mm-hmm.
He, I think, wanted to move to the lead-free shot shells anyway. I just looked at the box. But he just, like, has a stockpile. So he's just going to use them at the range, like, where they belong. But
Yep. That is so cool.
Yeah.
How funny that he had already bought those when he got back. Was he really impressed with the knowledge that you came back with?
Yeah. I think I chatted about it for like the next week. I was like, oh, then at grouse camp, but
it's no, like at band camp.
Cause like, and then the cool thing is I've done all this running. So I feel like I have this huge knowledge of terrain in the immediate Bozeman area. I haven't explored a ton, but like, I just have this big backlog. I'm like, so when I learned about the habitat and where they live, I'm like, I can get us there. I know where to go.
Sure.
I have all this backlog of just areas to explore, to look for them.
Yeah. And I mean, what a great thing for you to already have. I mean, like you said, when you went running, the grouse would get up. And so, I mean, once we started showing you stuff on Onyx and how to scout for it and actually took you into those covers, were you able to kind of start getting ideas right there going, yes. Oh, I know somewhere in our area that I can take my dog to?
Absolutely. Like I basically ended up like right when we got to some of the area where the rough grouse live, I just took a couple photos of my surroundings and like some of the shrubbery, like as we were hiking through it. And I was like, I know, like, I mean, I immediately thought of a lot of areas that I can go.
Yeah. And I think we were trying to point out like the rose hips and the snowberries and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. You had mentioned kind of when you talked hunting stories with guys at Cabela's, you're like, it was just it being at women's grouse camp, like talking with other women, it was just so much more different from what you had heard before with the stories. Explain that a little bit.
Sure. So at Cabela's, like all the guys, it was, the bank had a lot of men, a lot more men than women working. And I'm guessing the retail also had the same, but you go to work and there's, first of all, this is kind of funny. The Cabela's Bank that was in Lincoln got all the reject taxidermy from the stores. So our entire office space were full of these really screwed up, messed up faced animals that looked in all these extremely unnatural positions and whatnot. It was just kind of haunting. Now there's this like mountain lion with arms that are just way too long. Like, I don't know how it got stretched arms, but anyway, so my whole office is just hunting centric. And we actually had a trophy wall where people, you know, sent in their photos and had their trophy animals up there. And just the stories that I would hear, it just was always about the kill and the hunt and how big it was. And it just, I wouldn't hear a lot about the things that seem to be a lot more important to the women. So when I would hear these stories from the men, who are all great, great men, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, it just was not from a perspective that I could really relate to. So I don't know, when I went to camp and all the women there were so strong and just kind of really impressive, well-rounded women, you know, mm-hmm. and hearing their perspectives and just, you know, what drives them to do what they do and why they're out hunting. And it was just so different than how big the thing was that they killed and how many they killed and what the kill, how the stock was. And this is what I was used to hearing. And for the women, it was like, my dog did great. And it was like, I loved being in the mountains. It was so beautiful. And it was just, it was a little bit more like, oh, I can't, you know, we learned how to cook the bird and make sure we use all the bird and that sort of thing. Like the things that would matter to me personally a little bit more than like how to kill something, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, I totally get it, Lauren. I totally get it. Yeah.
It's very different hearing it from a woman's point of view. And I had never heard that before.
Mm-hmm. And we had a really good mix, I think, of beginners and experienced and, you know, women kind of from all different walks of life. And yeah, like you said earlier, we had several fly in from different areas throughout the U.S. to come for it. And, you know, I had pondered afterwards, I sent out a survey to everyone and one of the mentors had mentioned, I really think we should split this up in the future from beginners in advance. And I just thought, I don't really know if I like that idea. And then I was really surprised with the survey. Everybody came back saying, we loved to be with everybody on all different levels because so much is exchanged between that. Would you agree?
Yeah. I thought the only session that might be good split up would probably be the shooting. Because mm-hmm. I think when you have someone like me who had never shot a shotgun, that's a pretty extreme beginner versus someone who might have wanted like, you know, just tips on how to improve their form. You know, that might have been the only session, but hearing their experiences and stuff really made the camp what it was.
Yeah, really good point there. No, I agree with that because there are people that are like, you know, I don't need intro to shooting. I just want to learn how to improve my shot. So that's great feedback. You went out on, was it two hunting sessions at camp? You went to the dog training the one morning, right?
Yes.
Yep. So instead of, so there was the option to have like three hunting sessions, unless you did the dog training, then you had two. And I, you know, what I really appreciated about you was your, how you gradually did like put more on your plate. You know, it wasn't, you didn't let it be overwhelming and load up your gun and go get ready to shoot birds, right? Because you were just getting comfortable with having a gun the day before.
Yeah.
So you, what you did was you carried a gun with you, I think the very first time, and took that opportunity to, I don't, did we have any birds get up in that first one where you were able to kind of,
yeah,
we did.
So I carried with no bullets and I tried to practice like pretending like I was actually going to do something, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'd practice actually, you know, getting ready to shoulder the shotgun and everything. And then the second time I actually did carry bullets, but didn't run into any birds.
Didn't get any birds up. Yeah. So was it a week after camp was done? You sent, like we had an email with everybody that was at camp because I did a couple follow-up stuff with everyone. And we were just all excited to kind of exchange contact information and stuff. But about a week after camp, you emailed all of us and like, I'm not even kidding. I was sobbing after I read your email. Totally sobbing.
Cry.
So tell listeners what you wrote in that email. Do you remember?
I mean, I remember the gist.
Okay.
Well, I went out the weekend after camp, and my husband was out of town, and I was like, well, I'm just going to take your gun and go out with my friend. And so I was able to kind of point us in the right direction. I had an idea, like I said, from all my running, I had an idea of a place to go. And I took Isla out, and it all kind of aligned for me because, you know, I went into camp and I was like, I had this thought, like going into camp, like, am I really going to be able to shoot a bird? I don't know if I can actually kill something, which at camp ended up being super laughable because the idea of me actually being able to get the gun up in time and like actually, you know, be able to put it all together swinging on a bird is just laughable. I mean, that's, I'm so far from that. So the only situation that would have worked out for me to get a bird for my dog would have been if it flushed to a tree and I was able to take my time with it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. So we went out and Isla pointed a bird and then broke her point. She's a puppy and she's not trained. And she ran at it and flushed it up into a tree. I was able to take my time, put my bullet in, and had my friend hold Isla so that I can make sure she was fully out of the way after spotting the bird. And
yeah,
I was able to kill it. And then Isla came and retrieved it for me and dropped it right at my feet. And
oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
It was just kind of like I said, if the bird had flown, I would have stand no chance. And that ended up being the only one we saw that day. So it just kind of all worked out for me to be the one, which is crazy, to actually be the one that gets my dog's first bird ever was also with, you know, was also my first bird ever, which is just crazy because I never, ever, ever in a million years thought I would hunt. It's just, I could have never pictured it. So it was just really special to be the one to do that for her instead of, you know, my buddy that was with me or my husband or whoever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go. You got me going again. You know, it's why we do it. Like, it's just, it's so cool to see. It's so, I love hearing your story, and I could hit replay on this several more times. Just listen again if I'm having a bad day. but you went through just like so many things. You got this dog and you decided to start doing this for your dog.
Yeah, it's the only reason.
Yeah.
It's just so cool seeing her do what she's meant to do. I mean, it's just something I would have never knew. I have a mutt who's not really bred to do anything. So he's just kind of a good old boy. But Isla has this like crazy birdie, crazy drive that I didn't know what to do with. So I tried to figure out what to do with it. And the answer is that I need to hunt her. And it's just kind of wild. Now, it was easy. It ended up being really easy to kill the bird. That part, I didn't hesitate because I was like, this is my one chance to do this for Isla. I want this to happen for her. So I killed it. The harder part was everything that came after because it was still warm. I wasn't, that was something I didn't put together in my brain that it wasn't like a cold chicken in the fridge. It was still warm. And that part was hard to process. And I had to process the bird. And that was also a very difficult thing.
So you did that by yourself?
I did. Yeah.
Wow. Good for you. So you remembered what you had learned exactly, or did you?
I was scared. The tail on the grouse was all mangled. Like, so okay. I must have hit it with a couple of the,
shot
or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was worried that I might have popped the intestine. So I figured I should do it quickly because I didn't want to waste anything, you know? So I did it in the field and it was awful. I think it'll get easier, but that part was, tough. I don't know.
Yeah.
The degloving, that was a little tough later that day. I didn't do that part in the field, but that was also like, wow, this is not a store-bought chicken. Once the feathers were removed, but and then it was like, okay, I can cook this. I'm good.
Okay. So how did you cook it now?
So I had won that cookbook at camp. What
is? Yeah, you won the Hank Shaw book, right?
Yeah, it's the pheasant quail cottontail. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
So yep. There was a recipe in there that spoke to my Minnesotan soul, which was pan fried served with a wild rice dressing, and I grew up eating wild rice dressing. So
was it the Grouse North Woods?
Yeah, that's exactly
yes.
it.
Awesome. That is such a good one.
Yeah, it was delicious. And awesome. I had a buddy over that came with me and helped me through the whole degutting of it. Mm-hmm. I had him over to help me eat it too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
It was.
So have you gone out hunting since then?
We've been going out like every weekend.
Holy cow.
Okay. We're getting lucky with the snow. So I'm enjoying hunting for dusky grouse more, I think, because I really like being able to use my fitness, and it takes a lot to get up there and get that. So I've been, we've been out hiking up, and I've been finding little spines, and that's where I'm kind of finding them right now, is they don't seem to be all the way up, like right on the ridge. I was like, am I going to have to get up on a literal ridge? Because that's going to be tough when it starts snowing, but they like spines is what I'm finding that kind of run parallel to the ridges. So I'm
You're right.
able to find those. And just last week she pointed three and Jared and I failed. And I don't have a gun. So I'm just hiking along, and we would take turns if it came up, but I'm not, I don't have we only have one break action shotgun. So,
sure. So now do you have a shotgun in your future, you think?
I think so. And hopefully get a gun that like functions better for a woman's body is my thought.
Yeah. So that's Sirens. That's the shotguns that you did try out.
Yeah.
That's super exciting. Have you been able to cook up a dusky grouse yet?
I have. It was a lot tougher than the ruffed, I will say. I don't know if that was just my cooking. I also was surprised at, it was a lot bigger. It was a lot bigger than I was expecting.
It is.
I don't know.
They're bigger.
The one we got was really big. But anyway, it was my husband's first grouse, was the dusky that we cooked.
That's so cool. You may have just maybe overcooked it a little bit, because I think that they're actually even more delicious than a rough grouse.
Okay, interesting. So yeah, I probably did mess that up because it was a little tougher. But
okay.
And then I just had everything else frozen, waiting for more to... You know, like the carcasses and the legs, waiting for more to be able to use them. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm so stoked for you, Lauren. That is like just my favorite. My favorite story ever, for sure. So have you noticed a difference between your relationship with Isla since you've started hunting with her?
Like a huge difference. So it's like I said, the problem that I was kind of trying to solve was getting her to like listen to me when she's in this hunt mode. And it just feels like now that we've been hunting together and out there, everything is clicking all of a sudden. And it could have been, part of it's probably maturity. She just had her first birthday, so that's definitely an aspect, but it feels like she trusts me more. And when we're out there hunting, she's listening to where I want her to go. She comes to me when I call her. She stays close to me. She'll range and she comes and checks in, and it's made a huge difference. Like even in hiking and running, it's made her like all around a better dog, because it feels like she like views me as her teammate and like we're in this together. And she just, it's just made it amazing for me. And I know it, I truly think it's the hunting that did that, because I don't know, she knows I'm needed for her to get that bird, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are partners now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Are you going to be doing any more NAVDA with her in the future, do you think?
I'd like to. I need help too with training. It's my first bird dog. So, she's not holding her point. She does, but she breaks it. So I need to learn how to help her do that. And then, let's see. We also would love to get her doing duck retrieves too, but I don't even know where to start with that. So I'm hoping to lean on NAVDA to kind of help me learn what needs to be done and start this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, put a retrieve on her over the winter is a really good time to do that.
Yes.
Once hunting season ends.
You know what? I'm kind of like on We're still doing obedience weekly with my trainer, but I would say like hunt training, we kind of pause to let her naturally have a season, I guess is my thought process. But I would like to test her more in Navda if she shows that she can like do the actual holding of the point type thing, what's needed for that. But
and yeah, I mean, you'll have plenty of time between when the season ends and next season to be able to work on some of that stuff. And you just get a little bit more caliber of a dog before next season then.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I also teach her to shed hunt. That's the other thing on my list.
Awesome.
Yeah, she finds bones all the time. So I just need to teach her to look for the antler bones, not the jaw bone she brought me last weekend.
Hopefully there wasn't any like meaty stinkiness on it. Sure there was. Those are the worst.
Yeah.
What's going to be next for you and Isla? Are you going to be making any hunting trips?
I guess we haven't thought about it. I have the next couple of days off to transition into my next job. So we were going to, I'd like to see how she does like for pheasant and stuff, but for me personally, that doesn't interest me as much as, you know, hiking up in the mountains and working for it does.
Sure. Right.
There's something about, like walking in a field where I'm like, wah, wah, it just kind of, but I'll do it for her. I'll do it for
her.
Oh
my gosh. So I was just in Idaho last week, chukar hunting.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Oh man, once you start getting real comfortable and have that shotgun, you would be like an elite chukar hunter.
You have to really get in there for chukars.
Oh man, you are climbing like rim rock. It's super hardcore.
Oh yeah.
Like I die. So my friend texted me today. She's still out there. She's like, so guess what I did today? I puked in my mouth 3 times.
Oh no. That sounds intense.
It is super intense. Probably not for you, but like for, yeah.
For climbing mountains is always hard for everyone.
Oh man.
So often to do it.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you would like seriously kick ass at chukar hunting though. Once you get real good with a shotgun, cause you put all that work in and then you're so damn tired, or like you're just climbing this really steep terrain.
Yeah.
And like when birds finally get up and you take a shot, like I've lost my footing and I fell.
Oh yeah.
Fell straight over. And
oh no.
Yeah. But no, you'd be good at it. So now that you kind of have like the bird dog addiction, would you consider adding another one anytime soon?
You know, our house is kind of at capacity, I believe. So we're in a suburban setup. I have 2 dogs, 3 cats, 5 chickens outside. I just don't know that another dog is going to happen. Three would start to get pretty chaotic in my house. So,
sure.
But when it's time, I think if I continue down this road, you know, I imagine as if Isla starts to slow down at the end of life, you know, I'll likely get another. I can't imagine leaving the breed now. They're just so perfect.
You like the wire hair?
Yeah. I mean, she's cute and like she's everything I want her to be. It was just, wow, it took a long time to get there. Mm-hmm. Much longer than a lot of other, you know, mixes or purebreds. It's just like, that's a strong-willed dog, and it took a lot of training. And
they are
there. I'm still not all the way there.
Well, they are strong-willed, and so I mean, kudos to you for being able to figure that out and completely going into a new endeavor for your dog to be able to recognize like she needs this in her life. Like your outlet is running, and you're like, yeah, running isn't going to be enough for her. She wants a job. So,
and I thought I could replicate that in other ways, but it's just her true job is really what really kind of gets it done for her. You know, I thought maybe I could have her pretend work, I guess, you know, training that seems like working or fetching things for me. No.
Yeah.
She needs to hunt.
Yeah. The other thing, you had just finished hunter safety like right before camp too, didn't you?
Yeah
because I think I remember like checking in going because your age limit didn't make you clear of it, if I remember right.
Yeah
and you're like, oh, I have one more module to finish, I should do it tonight. So was there anything like in the hunter safety that you weren't expecting?
I learned a lot about tree stands. I don't think I'm ever going to be in a tree stand, but I don't know. There was a lot that I learned, actually. It was pretty beneficial. They do a really good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of things that I did not know that was probably pretty important for me to learn. So it was really beneficial. But then there was a lot of things about deer hunting and turkey hunting. And I'm like, I just want to take my bird dog out. I'm not going to do these things, you know?
Yeah. What kind of advice would you have for a novice getting into this?
For getting into bird dogs, I would probably say to get ready to like have your life changed. I mean, it pretty much uprooted everything that I did. And you can read what prey drive and high energy means on paper. And until you live that, it's like, it is a different world when it's like in your face as a puppy and there it is. And you got to deal with it. Otherwise you have like a little monster on your hands. And of course, getting into hunting, I guess, just find people who know what they're doing, however that might be. I still don't know if I'm ready to like go out alone without someone even just there to kind of like calm my nerves, I guess. But finding people who are willing to teach you and who will help you along your way and really like understand that you're a beginner, that's probably the most helpful thing for me. So Grouse Camp was that for me. That was amazing. And now I'm out, you know, with just individuals who have been hunting before, and that's helpful to like remind me of things. Hey, barrel is up, Lauren, you know, stuff like that, like little things that you just mistakes are made when you're new. So experienced people helps.
Yeah. Is there, when you're hunting with your husband, like after some of the things that you've learned, do you ever notice that you're telling him things that he should be doing?
Yeah, but he's actually pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll remind him when we're like getting near a trailhead to unload before, like maybe I'm like overly conservative with it, but I'm like, we might be on private land now. You probably shouldn't even have, you know, shots in your gun right now. You know, I'll do that because I don't want to mess with private landowners, I guess. Especially a lot of the places that I'm going right now, they start off in private land, like the trail access is private land. So you park there and then you have to hike into the public land is a lot of setups that I'm looking at right now. So that's about it though. Like, he's actually pretty damn good, I'd say. Yeah. Like I rarely see him do anything that makes me like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I bet he loves that you're out there hunting with him now.
I think he's pretty excited about it because he gets to go out more.
Sure.
Because I'm wanting to go out for Isla. So it's like, he's getting more of doing what he loves because I'm wanting to see my bird dog do her thing.
Right. Right. Are you plucking birds or are you breasting them? What are you doing?
We've gotten exactly 2 grouse, one for me and one for him. And each time I just remove the feathers.
Okay.
He has gotten pheasants in the past. And I think we did the breasts that time. I did like a pheasant masala when I cooked it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what I do in the future, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting to bring your harvest to the table, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I love that part. I garden and I have chickens. So I'm all about kind of trying to get my own veggies and food and meat. And I'm really trying to pay close attention to where my meat is sourced lately.
Mm-hmm.
So that hunting kind of plays into that. It's really nice to be able to bring that home and cook it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you, Lauren.
Thanks for having me on. It was cool.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was super fun. I love your story and I'm so excited to share this one with listeners.
Great.
I hope you and Isla have a great rest of the season.
Thank you.
Talk about taking a plunge into something new. Major kudos to Lauren for not only recognizing that her dog needed a job, but for jumping at an opportunity to learn and overcome obstacles along the way. I hope to get Lauren into some chucker country, even though I'll likely be a mile behind her. Lauren isn't on social media, but if you're interested in reaching out to her, let me know and I'll send along her email address for you. If you're interested in the uncut video of this episode, more discounts, giveaways, and content, sign up to be a member for $5 a month at patreon.com/thebirddogbabe. Check out the sponsors and partners of this podcast for all of your bird dog and hunting needs. Purina Pro Plan, Boss Shot Shells, Onyx Maps, Siren Shotguns, and Dakota 283 Kennels. And please be sure to support the conservation organizations of the birds you're chasing after this season and the public lands in which you hunt.